chapter number 4, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The sons of Judah, Phares, Hezron, and Carmi, and Hur, and Shobal, and Reiah, the son of Shobal, begat Jahath, and Jahath begat Ahumai, and Lahad. These are the families of the Zorathites. And these were of the father of Edom, Jezreel, and Ishma, and Idbash. And the name of their sister was Hazalelponi. And Penuel, the father of Gador, and Esor, the father of Husha. These are the sons of Hur, the firstborn. Ephrata, the father of Bethlehem. And Ashur, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hela and Narah. And Narah bare him Ahuzam, and Hefer, and Temeni, and Hashtari. These were the sons of Narah. And the sons of Hela were Zareth and Jezuar, and Ithnan. And Koz begat Anub and Zobabah, and the families of Aharhel, the son of Haram. And here's the verses I want you to pay special attention to. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for letting us be here today. And I want to pray that you will let this message make a special impact on everyone that is here tonight, especially the young people that want to come here and serve you, God, and sing, all the glory goes to you. And I pray that you'll fill me with your spirit and give me the strength to preach, thus saith the Lord, and to stop me from saying the things that I shouldn't and compel me to say the things that I should. And bless this time and let your word remain in our hearts and stir us up. Jesus' name, amen. The first few things I want to look at in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 is that from verse 1 to verse 9, it's only talking about relationships. It's only talking about generations, and it's only talking about people that didn't do anything for God or wasn't worth mentioning. But then in verse number 9, it stops to take a second and look at this and says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez because saying, I bear him with sorrow. I bear him with sorrow. It's a shame to see that some people in this room could ever have a child and then name their child something very saddening and very sorrowful and very upsetting to say, I bear them with sorrow. I never liked giving birth to them. I didn't love them as much as I should. But Jabez, in God's eyes, was more honorable than his brethren. Despite what his name meant, despite what the people said about him, despite what people would think about him, despite what he did, despite what he thought, despite what he loved, despite what he liked, despite everything, God said he was more honorable than all of his brethren. And the first thing I want to look at here in verse number 9, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. The title of this message is child care. The title of the message, one more time, is child care. The first thing is he noticed me. Turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter number 40. I hope I can find it. Biggest book in the Bible, but I'm having trouble. Psalm chapter number 40, and look at verse number 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And many shall see it in fear, and shall trust in the Lord. God noticed somebody that everybody else didn't like, that everybody else wanted to show shame to, that everybody else felt sorrow about being around. But God said, he is more honorable than his brethren. I love this child. He is my son. You can't take him away from me. That relationship can't be broken. That fellowship is mine. That fellowship we're going to keep together. That's something we need to keep in our lives. That's something we need to have. That's something we all need to have in this room. That's something we all need to keep straight with God. We can't let this fellowship slip. We can't just jump into sin and say, I'm not worthy. I can't have a fellowship with God because I don't deserve it. But you need to understand, of course you don't deserve it. You don't deserve anything good from God. You don't deserve any of his mercy. You don't deserve any of his grace. You don't deserve that sweet fellowship he's given you. You don't deserve that relationship with Christ Jesus, our Savior. Throughout the corridors of time, I can see God looking down and saying, oh, that sinner, they're going to sin and they're going to ruin the entire planet. They're going to give that evil seed to every generation. They're going to hurt the entire human race. But God said, I'm not going to let that happen for all of eternity. I'm going to send my son, my only begotten son, not my one and only, my only begotten, holy, perfect, pure, powerful, sinless. He's going to die on a cross to save your sins. And nothing's going to change that relationship that we have. Nothing's going to change that fellowship. And I'm going to live for God. And I'm going to thank God for His mercy. And I'm going to thank God for His grace. And I'm going to thank God for that fellowship. He noticed me. I waited patiently for the Lord. And He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Why did God hear my cry? Why did He have to listen to me? Because God doesn't see you as just another person. God wants that intimate fellowship with you. God wants that relationship with you. The relationship is salvation. The fellowship is personal. And you've got to have a relationship before you can have fellowship. He noticed me, Psalm 40, verse 1 through 3. One of the best passages of Scripture ever, because it shows that you have a relationship, you have a fellowship, and you have that love for God. And God has that love for you. Number 2, He feels my pain. Romans chapter 10, and I want to look at verse 9. You don't have to turn there. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He feels my pain. Now, why do I have to believe in Jesus to understand that He feels my pain? Because God didn't just look through time and say, I'm going to send Him to die. Jesus was crucified. The effect of crucifixion on a person was designed to inflict as much pain as possible before death. They had nails through the wrists or through the hands. They were hung up on a cross, dangling like this, with their feet nailed to the bottom, and they had to pull up on their hands so they could breathe before their lungs filled with blood due to the scarring that Jesus had. It was almost impossible for a normal human to survive. It was almost impossible for somebody to not feel pain. It was almost impossible for somebody to go through that without dying. But Jesus did. He went through that without dying. Because if you look in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it says Jesus gave up the ghost. Nobody took it from Him. He didn't die. He wasn't murdered. He wasn't killed. Jesus gave up the ghost. He gave it for you and I. And He wants that fellowship. He noticed you and He feels your pain. Number 3. He heard my request. I'm going to go through this one more time. The sons of Judah, Phares, Hezron, and Carmi, and Hur, and Shobal, and Penuel, the father of Gador, and Azar, the father of Husha. These are the sons of Hur, the firstborn, Ephratah. And Nerah bare him Ahuzam. And then it looks in verse 9. It says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Jabez was. Why Jabez? He noticed me. He feels my pain. He heard my request. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. The effect of sin in our generation has caused so many problems. The accessibility of pornography is everywhere. Every store, all over your phone, on your computer, on your television, it's everywhere. And that is disgusting, and God hates that sin. God hates that sin. Drugs and alcohol are becoming more prominent in schools, becoming more prominent in our churches. In our churches, where we're supposed to have that relationship, that fellowship, to keep it out of our hearts and say, you're not supposed to do this. Get this out of our churches and get the Word of God in. I feel ashamed to say that our government's leaders has allowed a new bill to be issued, a new right. Now I hear all the amens, and I know that some of you hate it just as much as any other Christian should. The sickest thing, I'm not even going to say it. It's just that vibe I get off my tongue from saying it is just disgusting to think that God, instead of being hot or being cold, He would rather spew us out of His mouth. Now take that into thought. How would you like to be spewed out of the mouth of God? I don't think that sounds too good, so I'm probably just going to stray off that topic. I need an assistant. I need a volunteer. Somebody that would like to help me. Anybody raise their hand at all? Would you like to help me, Brother Dennis? Okay. I want you to stand right next to me. I'm going to play the role of God, even though He's bigger than me. But we have a fellowship, right?
I hope so.
That's scary. God wants a fellowship with all of us. But here's how it is. If I go like that, I want you to take one step back. If I point to you, I want you to say, I want to be closer to God. And if I do like this, you take one step towards me. Right. Got it? Go that way. 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 Keep going. Don't worry about the wall. Keep going. Is he getting any closer to me? No matter how many times we say it, we're not going to get closer to God. We're not going to get closer to God. I want to serve God. I want to be right with him. I want to have a fellowship. I want to have a relationship. I want to go to Christian school. I want to go to Bible college. I want this. I want to dress right. I want to act right. I want to live right. I want to be right. I want to think right. I want the right music. I want the right clothes. I want the right thoughts. I want the right life. Am I getting it? Am I getting it by saying it? Am I getting it by pretending? How many Christians would act? Take one step closer to me. We are now two steps closer. Draw nigh unto me, and I shall draw nigh unto you. Because of that love God has for us. He says, because you take one step towards me, I'm going to take one step towards you. Take one step closer. We are one step away from having that fellowship. We are one step away from having that fellowship. But we are also one step away, if he goes the other way, of losing it. Here's where most Christians have to make a choice.
Oh, I don't want to give up my addiction. I don't want to give up my drugs and alcohol and my pornography and my dress. I don't want to have to give up my wardrobe. I want to keep it all myself. I don't want to leave my school. I like the way I act. I don't want to leave my friends.
I don't want to ruin my life when I can have an eternal life. To go one step closer to me. We are now in sweet fellowship with the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. You may take your seat. Thank you. If we were to break that right then and there, we see how easily it is for us to lose a great relationship with Jesus Christ. He heard my request. He gave his all, which is number 4, and then some. And God granted him that which he requested. Let's reflect on what Jabez wanted real quick. Now, this is something we all need to have because we all don't ask for it. We need to live it instead of keep asking, I want to serve God. I want to be right with God. I want to have that fellowship. I want to live for him. I want to go in the ministry. I want to go to Bible college. I want to go to Christian school. I want to dress right. I want to act right. I want to be a servant for God. But look at this. If I keep asking and not doing, where am I getting closer with God? There is no fellowship unless I do. There is no fellowship unless I live. There is no fellowship unless I want to be. There is no fellowship at all unless I am. He gave us all and then some. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. The sadness of sin in our generation is corrupting all the young teenagers' mind as we forget that these teenagers are going to head up our next generation, as they're going to head up the future, as they're going to be the ones that are going to have to take a stand for Christ. We went to a teen camp not too long ago. We went for both weeks. And that teen camp, the number one thing there is its theme. And its theme was, unashamed, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I'm not going to leave out my friends when I go to a Christian school. I'm not going to leave out my friends when I go to Bible college. I'm not going to leave out my friends when I go to my public school. I'm not going to leave out my friends when I go to church, because everybody needs a Savior. I'm just too scared to do it. I'm too afraid. I'm afraid what they're going to say. What if I tell my friends I'm a Christian? What if I tell my friends I want to serve God? What are they going to do? What are they going to think? What if I'm not saved and I say that I got saved, but I'm not? Christians in your church, your friends, they'll be like, yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad you're saved. But if you go to public school and you walk in there and say, woo, I'm saved. I'm never going to go to hell. I couldn't even walk up to the gates of hell and say, can I please enter? Because it would never happen. I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. If I was the worst criminal in all the world, if I was the biggest murderer, if I was Adolf Hitler, I couldn't go to hell if I got saved. If I was Osama bin Laden, I couldn't go to hell if I got saved. We think that the person defines the salvation, but the salvation defines the person. That testimony defines the person. That lifestyle defines the person. That thought life defines the person. That dress code defines the person. That addiction defines the person. That sin defines the person. That act defines the person. Then why do we let it try to define us? Why can't we live a life that serves God instead of just letting it get to us and say, I can't do it. It's just too hard. Christianity is not an act. It's a lifestyle. Man, I'm running away from this pulpit. I must be afraid of it. He gave his all and then some. I understood why This is something that is very hard. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But then the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. Love lifted me. It wasn't my thoughts. It wasn't my dress code. It wasn't my lifestyle. It wasn't me going to church on a Sunday. It wasn't my friends. It wasn't my parents. The truth of this message tonight is he loved me like I was his only child. As Jesus went to that cross, as they nailed his hands to that wood, as they nailed his feet to that wood, as they hung him up and put him up there, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because when that fellowship in the Godhead was broken, God couldn't look upon sin. He couldn't look upon a disgrace that we made Jesus become. We made our Savior sin. We made our Savior disgusting. We made our Savior a mess. But Jesus rolled up his sleeves and stuck his hands straight down in our mess and picked up the broken pieces and put them back together. And now I can say, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, and not myself, not by my power, but thine, saith the Lord of hosts. He loved me like I was his only child. He loved me like I was his only child. How much do you love your child? Now think about the perfect love that God has and think about how much that he loves you. He loves me like I was his only child. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving me this opportunity.